I can go and get some.
Gyanta Manandasya Gidangina Shalakaya Chakshurinaditam Jena Tasmaya Sikadeva Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovisnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shwayam Rupakadamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Om Amrim Shom Om Parom Tathagrahate Kikeshi Vidyalat Vatikalochana Padvaraka Mankrishparsa Divasingha Namastite. So, this is a very wonderful song by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, offering his prayers to the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya. He begins his prayer, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Karamore, Toma Bina Ketayal, Jagat Shamsare, Patita Pavana Hetu, Tava Avatar. He says specifically, My dear Lord, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? And Prabhupada quotes Sri Rupa Goswami, My dear Lord, you are the most beneficent of incarnations because you are truly distributing love of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. So Narottam Das Thakur specifically glorifies Lord Chaitanya in the same mood as Sri Rupa Goswami, as the most beneficent of all the incarnations of the Lord. As we know, there are unlimited incarnations of Krishna. Ete chamsa kalo pumsha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam indriya vyakalam lokam ridayunte yuge yuge. The Bhagavatam states that all the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. But krishnashtu bhagavan swayam, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And indriyam vyakalam lokam, that all of these unlimited incarnations, which elsewhere are described as unlimited as the waves on the ocean, appear in the material world whenever there is a disturbance created by the enemies of Indra, in other words, the Asuras. So the Lord incarnates into this material world for three particular reasons: paritranaya sadhanam, to deliver his devotees, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish the principles of dharma or religion. So whenever any one of these unlimited incarnations appear, not only on this planet, but on the many different planets within this universe, and within the many millions of universes, billions, trillions of universes within this material creation, they come for any one, two, or combination of three of these different reasons: to uplift the devotees, to annihilate the miscreants, and reestablish the principles of religion. And if we study the principal incarnations that we know, Matsya, Kurma, Vamana Dev, Nisringa, etc., we'll see that they performed these wonderful pastimes. Actually, but for the Lord, who could perform these pastimes of saving the devotees from such great demons as Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, etc.? Even the combined forces of the most powerful living entities within this universe, the demigods, they could not stand up against the prowess of people like Hiranyakashipu or Ravana. So sometimes it's necessary that the Lord himself comes. Sometimes he has to come personally to protect his devotees because the demons become very, very powerful. So the Lord, he comes personally. People are sometimes surprised to hear that God comes to this material world. We know about the Son of God. We know about the Prophet Muhammad. But generally in Western countries at least, people are surprised to hear that the Lord comes. But if the need arises, he will come. Just like if there's some disturbance somewhere, I may send my servant to solve the problem. But if he cannot do it, maybe I'll send a family member or a close associate. But sometimes if the problem is very difficult, I have to go myself to solve it. So sometimes the friction between the demons and the devotees becomes such that only the Lord can come to protect his devotee. Because he's called Bhaktivatsala, he's very attached to his devotee, he loves his devotee. So out of love, out of compassion, he comes to this material world and uplifts his devotees and annihilates the miscreants. And of course, no one but the Lord can establish true religious principles. Dharmantu sakshat bhagavat panitam. That real religion comes from God, because God is above the imperfections of the conditioned souls in this world. And everyone, with all due respect, even Brahma, of course our Brahma is a pure devotee, but quite often Brahma is not a devotee. He's conditioned soul. So even Brahma down to the insignificant ant, every living entity within this world has four imperfections, thus he cannot give perfect knowledge or perfect truth. So therefore, to give perfect knowledge, knowledge of the living entity, knowledge of the Supreme Lord and their eternal relationship, Krishna has to come. Dharmantu sakshat bhagavad pranitam. But when he comes, it doesn't take him very long to establish that perfect, concise truth. Krishna was present on this planet, I think, 136 years, and it took him 45 minutes to speak the Bhagavad Gita. So, Prabhupada has said that the real reason, the most essential reason the Lord comes is to uplift his devotees. Because he can speak Dharmantu Sakshat, Bhagavad Panitam, he can speak perfect knowledge in 45 minutes. That knowledge has been studied by the greatest scholars and sages for the past 5,000 years. He can kill the demons with some famine or disease or whatever. So the real reason he comes is to enliven his devotees, because in his, nothing enlivens the devotees more than the presence of the Lord. That is, because the devotees are always hankering for the association of the Lord. So when the Lord comes and they're midst, the devotees are most enlivened. So the Lord takes the opportunity to come and enliven his devotees and give them an impetus for going back home, back to the spiritual world. So if we study the incarnations that we know, well, there's 10 principal incarnations, but there are many others listed in Vedic scriptures, and there's many others we don't know, because all these incarnations is described. Indriyam Vyakalam Lokam. They appear on various planets. And one part of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions that they appear in different species of life. They don't, the incarnations of the Lord don't just appear in the human species of life, but they also appear, the Lord has appeared in the fish species as Matsya, he's appeared in the tortoise species as Kurma, he's even appeared in the dwarf species as Vamanadeva. So there are other incarnations, obviously, we don't know about. But generally they perform these three principal activities. But Narottam Das Thakur, he's singling out Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because although Mahaprabhu was also performing these particular pastimes of delivering the devotees, annihilating the miscreants, and re-establishing the principles of religion, the special nature of his incarnation is that he's distributing love of God. Now this is unique. And this is why Rupa Goswami points out, Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurdasaya Maha. That the most unique feature of this incarnation of the Lord is that he's distributing love of God. Now, if we study all the incarnations, we'll see that although their activities are marvelous, supremely wonderful, we don't see that they're distributing love of God. Of course, they may be accompanied by devotees who are imbued with love of God. Ramachandra was accompanied by, of course, his expansions, Sita, Lakshman, etc. And Hanuman was there. Hanuman was imbued with love of God. But we also know Hanuman, he also came from the spiritual world to perform these pastimes with the Lord. Whenever the Lord comes, he comes with his transcendental entourage, his associates. And together they perform the Leela for these three principal activities. So they may come, and being the Lord's eternal servants, naturally they'll be imbued with love of God. They'll be enjoying transcendental pastimes here as they do there in the spiritual world. There's actually no difference. When the Lord enacts his pastimes in the material world, the atmosphere becomes transcendentally surcharged, and it's actually because of that, those pastimes being performed in that atmosphere, everything becomes Krishnaized. And according to Acharyas, therefore, there's no difference really between Gokul Vrindavan and Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka means where the Lord performs his pastimes in the spiritual world, and Gokul means where they're performed on the earthly planets. But there's actually no difference because the Lord is present. Just like Advaita Acharya said to Lord Chaitanya, my dear Lord, wherever you are, that becomes Vrindavan. Becomes a transcendental abode. Even after the Lord apparently leaves that place, it still remains a transcendental abode because it becomes completely Krishnaized or transcendental. So, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are unique because he's giving this love of Godhead, which no other incarnation has actually performed before. He's not just coming with his devotees and giving them love of Godhead, but he's giving love of Godhead to those who are bereft of any qualifications. Because the material world is a place where people come to forget God. So he gives that love of God to those who are aspiring for his mercy. And the extra special qualification or quality of Lord Chaitanya is he gives that mercy to the most fallen, who have no qualifications for love of God. This is the meaning of his compassion. Generally we think of compassion to uplift someone from a fallen state. So material compassion is there, but it's temporary. But the benefit of Lord Chaitanya's compassion is that it is eternal. His compassion uplifts one all the way to the transcendental abode, to the spiritual world, where having once gone, one never comes back again to the material world. So no other incarnation is actually done like this. They may initiate one's spiritual process by coming in contact with the Lord. Once transcendental credits begin, and one may take up spiritual life and eventually become qualified. But we hear how sometimes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the midst of a kirtan with Lord Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasa, and his associates and devotees, such was the nature of that kirtan, that the dust that would rise from that kirtan and would be blown to another part of the village or the district, that dust would simply land on some villager's head, and the result was they began shedding tears of ecstasy, and their hairs would stand on end, and their voice would falter, they'd fall on the ground. So without any knowledge whatsoever of what was happening, they were getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is his unique contribution. Not only delivering the devotees and killing demons and establishing religious truth, but giving that Krishna prema, which is the essence of all religious practice. It's the goal of life. He's giving it practically immediately. And what kind of love of God is he giving? This is another point that should be understood. Not only is he freely bestowing love of God, but he's giving what kind of love of God? He's giving Krishna prema. Krishna prema pradayate. He's giving specifically the love of the residents of Vrindavan. That is unique. There's many types of Krishna bhakti. One can become a devotee of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets. The There's unlimited Vaikuntha planets. On each of those Vaikuntha planets, a particular manifestation of the Lord is residing. He has his devotees, and they're all loving Krishna. But that nature of that love is Aishvarya. It's in awe and reverence, opulence. But the special nature of Lord Chaitanya's gift is giving the love which is experienced by the residents of Vrindavan. There's no mood of Aishwarya in Goloka Vrindavan. One loves Krishna as his child, one loves Krishna as his friend, one loves Krishna as his lover. And the mood of this Aishwarya is conspicuously absent. And because it is absent, it allows the devotees to love Krishna without any inhibition. Pure love. Krishna prema pradayate. So this is amazing. This is why Rupa Goswami has given us this verse. Namo Mahabharanaya Krishna prema pradayate. Krishna and Krishna Chaitanya. He's simply amazed that an incarnation of Krishna has appeared. Generally when the incarnations appear, they perform or they manifest one or two or three of the opulences of the Lord. Full strength, full knowledge, fame, reputation, etc. Krishna is called Bhagavan. He has all six opulences. When Krishna appears, he manifests all six opulences. But when an incarnation of Krishna appears, then he'll manifest one particular opulence of the Lord, like Mohini. She represents the beauty of the Lord. Or Balaram represents the strength of the Lord. Or Kapila Dev, the intelligence of the Lord. Or Narayan Rishi, the renunciation of the Lord. So they don't manifest all the opulences. Only Krishna can do that. When Krishna comes, Bhagavan, we see from his pastimes all six opulences. Therefore we know he's Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original incarnation of God. And why do we worship Krishna as God? As the Ishvara Padama? Because when he came 5,000 years ago, we see all six opulences manifested in full. And if we study the other incarnations, we'll see one opulence manifest. So therefore we don't sentimentally accept Krishna as God just because we feel like it. No, it's based on Shastra. Ishvara Padama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Ishvara Padama Krishna. He's the Supreme. And Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam because he manifested all others. Now, technically when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, although he's described as the most munificent incarnation. Actually, it's not simply incarnation. He is Krishna himself. He's Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radhe Krishna Nahi Anga. But originally, the Lord was one, but he expanded himself as two through his internal potency, Ladini Shakti, to enjoy transcendental pastimes as Radharani, Srimati Radharani, eternal consort of the Lord. The Absolute Truth became two, Radha and Krishna. Because Prabhupada explains to the Lord is the supreme enjoyer, and to enjoy alone, that's not possible. When we think of enjoyment, we think of a friend or an associate or a family member. We think of two, and the more the merrier. So the Lord, that principle is there originally in the Lord. So he expanded himself to enjoy as Srimati Radharani. Now, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radhe Krishna Nahi Anga. That's that same transcendental couple again became one as Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and descended onto the earthly planet. So, if we go a little deeper, we understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not actually technically an incarnation. Ete chamsa kulopumsha krishnashtu bhagavansa indriya vyakulam lokam. He doesn't necessarily fall into that category of a plenary expansion or a portion of the plenary expansion of the Lord, but he's directly Krishna himself. And if we study the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we'll see also that he manifests those full six opulences when he was present here. Therefore, great scholars, devotee scholars, they accept that he's non-different than Krishna himself. Krishna varnam tvisha krishnam shanga pangasha parshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Payar Yajantihi Sumedasaha. At the same Lord who appeared In Dwapara Yuga, in his bluish-black color, that same original Swayam Bhagavan, he's now appeared in the age of Kali in a golden form. And he's even more merciful than Krishna himself. Because Krishna, although he made the process very easy, he didn't make it very difficult. Sarva dharmam pradicha ja, mame kam saranam braja, aham tam sarva papevyo, moksisi masa jaha. That's not very difficult. You just abandon all these ways of dharma, ways of truth, religion, because it was Dwapara Yuga, so it was coming towards Kali Yuga. So he said, you know, the population was becoming less and less qualified. They just abandoned all these previous means of achieving me. You just surrender unto me unconditionally, and I will protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So this is the only stipulation that Lord Krishna made. It doesn't matter how fallen one was. All one had to do was give up his sinful ways and take shelter of the Lord. And the Lord would relieve one of the result of one's sinful activities in the past. Because sin means disobedience to the Lord. So however one was disobedient to the Lord, to a greater or lesser degree, the reactions would be removed and one would be accepted as an eternal servant of the Lord. This is very simple. Krishna's not asking very much. You just surrender. Just like sometimes we see two armies are fighting very bitterly against. It's a great struggle. So many men are killed at such a great expense, and so much fighting and trauma. But if at one point one side raises a white flag, then at least according to the Geneva Convention, people don't follow this anymore, but at least according to the Geneva Convention, that side is to be given an inner surrender. They're to be protected. They're not to be slaughtered. They're to be, all right, you've surrendered, so the fight was the fight, but we've won, you've lost, so we give you protection. No one is killed and no more property is destroyed, etc. Doesn't matter how vicious or how difficult the struggle. The white flag goes up, that's it. So the same principle holds true in the relationship between the living entity. We've been, you know, opposing the Lord since time immemorial. In so many ways, we've been so disobedient. In so many ways, we've been disobedient to the Lord since the moment we came into this material world. A great struggle has been going on. And our disobedience to Christ. Sometimes that disobedience takes a very vicious nature. Sometimes the living entity, he even blasphemes the Lord. Like sometimes we see in the material world that a boy will run away from home and then he'll just, you know, the parents will deny, I disown you. This is like really extreme. You disown your son, you disown your daughter. So we've disowned the Lord. We come to the material world and the epitome of that disowning the Lord on our side as the son or the daughter is to deny the existence of the Lord. And sometimes a living entity may get a little intelligence due to some past pious activity, but because of his polluted heart, he utilizes that intelligence to concoct a philosophy which tries to deny the existence of God. Or God does not exist, or God is now dead, or I am God, I am you and you are me and we're all together. Beatles. So like this, we deny the existence of the God. Of God. What more, how inimical could the living entity become? How much more inimical could the living entity become than to actually deny the existence of the Lord? So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has declared that the Mayavadis, they're the greatest offenders to the Lord. One can offend the Lord in so many ways. Just being disobedient to the Lord by abandoning his service, or disobeying his laws. Prabhupada said religion is the law of God. So within the religious scriptures, there's so many laws which determine if one is devotee or non-devotee. So even taking intoxication is disobedient. Having illicit sex is disobedience. Gambling is disobedience to the Lord. Actually, everything one does in the material is disobedience to the Lord. because one is acting independent of the Lord's desires. So this way, we've disobeyed the Lord in so many ways. We've been so nasty. And sometimes it comes to the point where we even, you know, abuse the Lord's dearest creatures, like the cow. The cow is very dear. Namo Brahmani Devaya, Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. That the cows and the Brahmins are very dear to the Lord. The Brahmins because they uphold religious principles, and the cows because they give liquid religiosity. When you milk them, out comes liquid religiosity. And you can drink that liquid religiosity, and your brain becomes, it stimulates the finer cells of the brain so you can understand Krishna philosophy, which culminates in understanding Krishna. So the cow is never to be harmed. They are the cousins, Baba said, of Krishna's original cows in the spiritual world, the Saravi cows. And protecting the cow is one of the principles of human civilization. We can't make any spiritual progress if we abuse the Brahmins or the cows. And actually, the cows are more dear to the Lord than even the Brahmanas. Of course, it's difficult to make a comparison like that because the Brahmins are essential for the upliftment of humanity. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that in the spiritual world, Krishna spends most of his time with the cows, not the Brahmins. When he goes to the forest every day, he doesn't go, you know, with 10,000 or unlimited amount of Brahmanas. He goes with the cows and the cowherd boys, and they enjoy their transcendental pastimes. But in our sojourn to the material world, we've committed so much sin. We've blasphemed the Lord. We've disrespected those who are dear to the Lord, the Brahmanas and the cows. But all Krishna says is Sarva Dharma Pratichaja, Mami Kam Saranam Vraja. You just give up everything, just surrender to me whatever nonsense you've done, however inimical you've become to me. I will protect you from those sinful reactions. So that was Krishna's condition. But Prabhupada said, how many souls took advantage of the Lord's mercy? So you can count them on your hand. The five Pandavas, you got five fingers left. A few others. Just more or less, just a few people took advantage of that mercy. Oh, Krishna made one condition. So how more merciful can you be than that? Someone has been inimical towards you since time immemorial. Billions of years. You just say, okay, I'll forget it all if you just do this one thing. You come before me and you say, my dear Lord, for so long I have forgotten you, but from this day on, I am yours. This is described, I think, in Ramayana. This prayer is made in Ramayana. And Prabhupada will quote that sometime. This is the condition for acceptance by the Lord. My Lord, for so many lifetimes I have forgotten you, but from this day on, please consider me yours. This is all one actually has to do to become a devotee of the Lord. Of course, that entails giving up all sinful acts, because to be yours means to no longer be disobedient, to follow the rules given by the Lord. But who took advantage of that 5,000 years ago? You can count them on your fingers. So therefore, if we compare the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the pastimes of Krishna, we'll notice that Lord Chaitanya, he didn't make any conditions. He didn't make one single condition. He didn't say, Sarva Dharma Pratichaja Mamekam. He just came and said, here, take it. And the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya is like that. Agyata Sukriti. Agyata Sukriti means that one gets mercy without even knowing it, and he begins to make progress in Krishna consciousness. So how is Lord Chaitanya distributing that prema, that pure Krishna consciousness? Primarily, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. This is the main way which we make progress. Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Shmaranam, Patasevanam, Arjanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atman, Nivedanam. The first is Shravanam Kirtanam. Shravanam means hearing. If somehow or other one can come in contact with this sublime transcendental sound vibration, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The seed of Krishna prema is planted within his heart. Just by that oral reception, whether one knows it or doesn't know it, the holy name will act. That is the nature of transcendental sound vibration, even one doesn't understand. We were sitting with Prabhupada in Hyderabad. One evening he was giving darshan, and some Indian life members came. So as soon as the life members came, Prabhupada stopped speaking in English, he started speaking in Hindi. We were listening attentively, and then life members came, because Prabhupada wanted to. He'd been speaking to us for a long time, and these people didn't know so much about it. They were new life members, I think, and Prabhupada wanted to increase, so immediately it switched over to Hindi. Neither Madhav would understand. And Prabhupada Vishnu Maharaj would understand. But those of us who are not scholars would be left in darkness. So as soon as Prabhupada began speaking in Hindi, then we started nodding. It was late also. You know. Suddenly Prabhupada said, "Why are you not listening? Why are you not listening?" And one devotee said, "Well, Prabhupada, we don't understand Hindi." He said, "That does not make any difference." He said, "The subject matter is transcendental. It will act. You listen." We listen. And sure enough, we submissive oral reception. We didn't understand a word. It was a very enlightening discourse. The end result was that we were all eager to chant Hare Krishna. So, even when we didn't understand, still it acted. And Prabhupada's own life, I mean, externally, it appeared that he was not understanding what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was speaking because he was a young man and he was not even a student, initiated student yet, and he was coming to hear. And he said, "Sometimes I didn't understand, but still I was listening." And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati noted. He accepted him later as a disciple, he said, because he had this propensity to hear. He said, "Yes, I have marked him, he hears well, therefore I'll accept him." Because he knew that once the medicine is injected, the sound vibration goes in the ear, and then it goes into the heart, then it will act, it will destroy the anarthas and eventually awaken the love of God. So anyone who's fortunate enough to hear the sound vibration that is given by Lord Chaitanya, and one may say, "But I'm not hearing from Lord Chaitanya." But if one hears in the authorized way, it is just as if hearing from Lord Chaitanya. What is the authorized way? Through Guru Parampara, disciplic succession. Because it is just like an electric wire. It's going from one point to another. You don't necessarily have to go to the source to get the full benefit. Anywhere you enter into the electric wire, you get the full force of that message that is coming through. So wherever one enters into the Guru Parampara, he can enter during the time of Mahaprabhu, just after the time of Mahaprabhu, during Srila Prabhupada's time, during the present time, during the future, because it is that pure chain of disciplic succession. The pure message of Lord Chaitanya is coming to that Guru Parampara and will act as effectively as it did when Lord Chaitanya was here. That is the meaning of Guru Parampara. That is why in this song, Narottam Das Thakur doesn't just glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Swarup Damodar, Six Goswamis, even his friend, Ramachandra Chakravarti. He also glorifies him. Hari Guru Vaishnav Bhagavata Gita. We get the mercy through God, through Guru, through the Vaishnava. So if one is fortunate enough to hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, which actually is the essence of Lord Chaitanya's instruction. Lord Chaitanya didn't actually leave any written word. Of course, the Shikshastakam is there, but people may be surprised. You know, he didn't give any written word. But in one sense, he had the six Goswamis. They gave the written word. They were empowered by him. But we can understand that the essence is there, especially people in Kali Yuga. They don't have so much time, so much intelligence. So something of essence is necessary, something simple. So what could be more simple than Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if one can hear, it will act. One can develop, one can get that Krishna prema, that special gift of love of God that no other incarnation gave. Only Lord Chaitanya is giving. And then to conclude, of course it's a long song, but to conclude he says that your incarnation is just to reclaim the fallen condition, fallen souls, but I assure you, you will not find a greater fallen soul than me. Therefore, my claim is first. So So this is significant because indirectly, not even indirectly, directly, Lord Chaitanya is glorified and the holy name is glorified by the fact that fallen souls are uplifted. It's one thing if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya or Prakashananda Saraswati, although they were not devotees, they were purified souls. They were well-practiced in penance and austerity, the self-control, the mind and senses were controlled, they were studying one aspect of Vedic culture, of Vedic philosophy. The impersonal Brahman is bona fide in the sense that it's Krishna's, the glow from Krishna's transcendental body. Mayavadis are different than impersonalists. Impersonalists are meditating on an aspect of the Supreme. But Mayavadis are blaspheming the Lord. So great souls became Ramananda Roy, Prakshana Saraswati, so they became delivered. That may not be so surprising because it isn't a little touch to become purified. But what about persons who are, you know, so full of lust and anger and greed? It's a much more remarkable thing. It's much more a great accomplishment if they get delivered. So when the holy name delivers people like Jagai and Madhai, or persons even in previous ages like Valmiki, when the holy name delivers them, this shows the real glory of the holy name. So Narottam Das Thakur, of course, he's not a fallen soul. He's engaged in the eternal nitya lila of the Lord in the spiritual world. But he takes this position, I am the most fallen. Because when something most fallen gets delivered, that directly, let us say, that actually shows us the true potency of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Something like if you just cure someone of a common cold, people, you know, I mean, you can't cure even a common cold. Let's say someone's got a little infection and you cure it. And someone says, oh, you're a doctor, you're very nice. But wait till that person comes along that cures AIDS. That he'll be given so much more recognition than the person who just cures a little infection here, a little infection there. The day that person comes who finds the cure, the pill for AIDS, that person, he'll become well known because that disease is so bad. So the disease of the conditioned soul is so bad in persons like Jagai and Madhai. Therefore, Mahaprabhu, Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prayampadayate, Krishna is Krishna Chaitanya. You are the most munificent incarnation because you're giving what no other incarnation has ever given before. Love of God. You're giving what kind of love of God? Krishna Prayampadayate. You're giving Krishna Prema, what, not Vaikuntha Prema, you give.
There's a soul there. It's a conscious person in every body. The animals are our brothers and sisters. The fish are our brothers and sisters. Even the insects are our brothers and sisters. They're also created by God. So because we don't create life, we don't have the right to take life. That's called non-violence or ahimsa. If you create something, well, it's up to you. You can break it down if you want. But if somebody else creates something, you don't have the right to destroy it. That's a principle of law and order in any society. You can't take someone else's property against their will. So that especially holds true in life. You can't take someone else's life. So, therefore, a man should be vegetarian. He shouldn't kill the animals, the birds, the fish. He should respect all forms of life. And if our whole society respected this principle of do unto others as we would have them do unto us, then we'd see that there'd be a lot less war, a lot less crime, a lot less violence in this world. Because for every action there's a reaction. If you do good, good comes back to you. If you do bad, bad comes back to you. It's a law of nature, a subtle law of physics, which hasn't been discovered by scientists. It's called karma. So if we kill, if we want to maintain our own lives at the expense of others' lives, if we kill, then the law of nature is that we will be killed in the same way, either in this life or in a future life. So what we see is war within Bosnia, within Chechnya, or any other part of the world is actually a reaction for people's past activities. It's not simple politicians and, money matters. It actually goes deeper than that. So this is an interesting, it's an important principle to becoming vegetarian. Good for your health, good moral, and from the spiritual point of view, it's also perfect. In Hare Krishna's, they don't take any intoxication. We don't drink liquor, we don't take drugs. Sometimes people see us singing, and they go, these guys must be on some kind of drugs or something. But we don't take any intoxication. We don't smoke marijuana, we don't take ecstasy. Even natural happiness, which comes from associating with the most blissful person, God. And we don't have any illicit sex, which means we don't have any sex outside of marriage. There's no problem in Hare Krishna with AIDS. So no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. So these are principles of purity by which we live. A simple life. So if some of these principles are interesting to you, we do have books. We haven't made up this way of life. Hare Krishna is actually the oldest spiritual tradition known to man. Some people think, it's something new, it just appeared in Canberra, Australia, 15 or 20 years ago. But actually, this way of life has been practiced in India for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So it has all the answers to the problems of life. It can satisfy all your inquiries into spiritual knowledge. We have books. The founder of our movement, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has translated the ancient Vedic scriptures into the English language. So at our temple, you can buy our books. And also, we have a Sunday program every Sunday at our temple here. We have a nice vegetarian feast. We have a little lecture on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, some drama, nice association. So some of the things that we've talked about you find interesting, why not stop by and visit the temple? Again, you don't have to shave your head. You don't have to be afraid of us. We don't bite. We're vegetarian. You can come by and learn some of these spiritual truths and fulfill the responsibility of the human existence. So we're going to keep chanting now. You can chant with us if you're shy. Other people may think, oh look, he's chanting Hare Krishna. Don't worry, it's a simple song. If you can't chant out loud, then just sing along in your mind. It's a very simple song. It's only got three words in it. It's been made simple for people of his age. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's not very difficult. And in the beginning, you don't have to follow any of the principles. And you can try it and see if it works. We're not selling this mantra. We're not forcing anyone to chant. We're just trying to show a nice example how if you sing this Hare Krishna song, you become blissful. You become ecstatic. Full of knowledge. Eternal. Hare Krishna.
Can you sing much?
Not like corn, yeah, so
sure.
Hare, Hare.
There's like a crowd of about 100 people now, they all start dancing.
Where's the temple? I want to shave my head.
Well, this is not very cool here.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm gonna go to the hospital. Okay, I'd like to thank all of you that have been with us. Some of you have been with us all morning, all afternoon. Those of you that are further interested in this wonderful process of singing the names of God and feeling ecstatic, then you're welcome to come to our center. We have regular programs there every Sunday. My friend, Neil Madhav, is a local resident. We'll tell you the address.
Hare Krishna. Every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock we have a transcendental meeting at 15 Parkhill Street, Pierce. There's a huge vegetarian feast. We have lots of chanting and dancing, lectures, discussion and philosophy for medium, questions, very beautiful spiritual atmosphere at 15 Parkhill Street, Pierce.
We're this part of straight PS. Let's come to
see.
If you like to sing, and you like to dance, and you like to eat, then you'll like the Hare Krishna Festival. Thank you very much.
You get the award from most dressed people on the planet. One of us likes lobs.
Yeah.
Because
of the equivalent of all these bums hanging around here. What do you call them? Barrels? Or straight kids, straight kids.
Well, that's what Hare Krishna was born, right?
Yeah, don't look.
Yeah.
Oh, man, okay.